Thank you, Lord. All right. Father, we thank you in the name of Yeshua for your goodness and your mercy. And I pray, Lord, the things that we begin to share concerning Tikkun and the call of Ahavat Yeshua, Lord God, that it would penetrate the hearts of those who are listening, and they would not only have an understanding, but they would adopt it and they would have a passion for it in Yeshua's name. We started last week just starting to give an overview. As I told you, I'd like to know where the congregation is moving. And last week I shared with you that Ahavat's never had what people would call formal membership, that we had membership. But it was done on an informal way, and it was done with a lot of emphasis on relationship, that we would develop relationships with people, they would commit to the community, but we didn't go through the formality that the Western world is used to, which is, you know, filling out your membership card and membership this and signing that and putting your name on there and that sort of thing. And God has blessed us in that because the relationship is what really matters. As I've said, in the first century, they didn't hand you a membership card and book and say, fill it out and there you go and sign this. But that's part of the reason they didn't have to do that, because they had a strong sense of covenant and what it was all about. People understood that. Some of us are older, may even remember, maybe when we were kids, our parents making a land deal just by a handshake. I remember my father making deals with people just by a handshake. No paperwork. And it was held up because they had that sense of covenant in the community. But in our Western world, you know, we get very legal about everything and we have all this paperwork. And as I said to you, anybody who's ever purchased a house, you know the ordeal, right? If you purchase a house, you know the ordeal of purchasing a house. You have never signed your name so many times in your life that everything, you know, you have to write it different ways, this way, that way, on all these different papers. You're like, after a while, you just say, you know what, I'm not reading anything else. I just want the house. I'll sign away my kids, my dog, my cat, whatever. I just want the house. I don't know what I'm signing, you know. Just like when you get that software you download and it says, do you agree? And you see that enclosure and it's about 5 pages long. And you're like, yeah, I agree. I'll take the software. You don't know that you just gave your house away to Microsoft. You didn't know you just did that. But you signed and agreed to that, you know. But you just needed to get that new version of Word on your system. And that's all that mattered to you, you know, at the time. So we are moving for some time for a lot of reasons. But the main reason is, one, is to get in flow with the rest of the Tikkun congregations, which do have formal membership. So we want to get in flow with them so we're all the same and united on that. And it's also going to allow us better tracking of members. And it also will give people opportunity to really think about, well, they really want to be a partner. They're not sashaying in and sashaying out, but like, hey. So for me, relationship is very important to me, always has been. And I like to build on relationship, and that's how we've built this community. Michael Rudolph started it out that way, and we have continued it that way for years. And I have close relationships with many, many, many people over the years, and some have moved on because God's called them to do other work, other places, or their job situation, moving away from Mary, but I still have relationships. Tyus is here today, and he's never had to fill a membership thing, but from my heart, he's still a part of Ahavat, even though he's way down in Greensboro, North Carolina, a place I used to hang out when I was a kid. I would, you know, well, not a kid, a teen, once I could drive. And my friends and I would go down to Greensboro because they had a huge Coliseum where they could have all the concerts, and little tiny Martinsville, Virginia had nothing. So we went to Greensboro to hang out, and that's where he's living now. I know there very well. You know, it's just that property down in Martinsville. But, you know, we still have that covenant. We still have a relationship. But we are moving to something that's more formal, more structured. And to do that, we could have just handed out membership papers and here you go, everybody sign, whatever. But that's just not my way. My way is that, and it's frustrating some people because they just want it to happen like this. My way is that you understand what you're getting into. And so last week, we took time to talk about a little bit about the UMJC because we are a union of Messianic Jewish congregation. We belong to that movement, that organization, and we're officially a part of it. And so I want you to have a broad understanding of the union and what it's about and what it's doing and what its work is about, so that you would have, you know, a sense of why we're part of the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations. If you want to know more about that, get last week's teaching on it, because I won't be talking on it today. Today we're going to move into Tikkun and what Tikkun's about, and ultimately over the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about what's called the 12 pillars of Tikkun. They're 12 foundational principles that every Tikkun congregation signs on that we seek to make a fabric of all that we do. And that's what I want you to understand, because you need to understand, what's this Chi-Kun thing that you guys are a part of? Because if you're a part of us, whether you like it or not, you're part of Chi-Kun. Now, the union we have a relationship with, and that's a good thing, and I shared last week all the benefits from that, but Chi-Kun is our major oversight. It's our major oversight. That is our most close-knit oversight, structure, order. They're able to speak into us. We're able to pull on them for help. We're able to bring people here. Different things happen. Sometimes I'm released to go somewhere that they're having a problem in another congregation. There was one Shabbat I wasn't here. Y'all don't know why I wasn't here, but the reason why I wasn't here is because I was asked to join some other leaders to go to another Chi-Kun congregation to sit with their leadership and their members and help them to walk through some difficulties they had had in their community in order to strengthen that community. So we are a strong network, and that's our major oversight. So whenever we want to emphasize something, we will emphasize Chi-Kun events more than the other events. Though we do encourage people to go to the other events and to stay connected to the union, go to the union website. We bring information in. When an opportunity presents itself, we were able to present the president of the union. He came here, he spoke, took a few time to share with us about some of the things, and that's good stuff. But Chi-Kun is our major oversight. I want everybody to understand that. We are a Chi-Kun congregation. What does the word Chi-Kun mean? In general, it just means to restore, restoration. That's what it means. That's what the word means, to restore, to put things back into right order, the way it should be. And so our main organization is Chi-Kun International. And I'm just going to read you straight up what it is, and then I'm going to share some things later on that. Chi-Kun International is a Messianic Jewish umbrella organization for an apostolic network of leaders, congregations, and ministries in covenantal relationship for mutual accountability, support, and equipping to extend the kingdom of God in America, Israel, and throughout the world. That's a basic understanding of what Chi-Kun International is. And though it started here in the United States recently, now there's been a little bit of change in the structure, that Chi-Kun International structure is coming out of Israel. That is this place now. That's been the shift, which a lot of us are happy about, because theologically we had the conviction that the Scripture says the law should come forth out of Zion, the word of the Lord out of Jerusalem. So we felt that it should come out of Israel, not out of America to Israel. And so we in America are part of what's called Chi-Kun America. We're under the umbrella of Chi-Kun International, but Chi-Kun America has its own substructure under the big structure of Chi-Kun International, but it all flows down to us. So what is the mission of Chi-Kun International? The Chi-Kun International mission is to effectively fulfill Yeshua's great commission through an apostolic network that restores the synergy of the fivefold leadership. Some people call it fivefold ministry. Some call it fourfold because they see the teacher and pastor as fulfilling the same role. To provide effective accountability and oversight to leaders, ministries, and congregations through covenant relationship and mutual support. Here's some of those words. Those are very important Chi-Kun words. We do not believe in a congregation standing out by itself where leaders can do anything they want to and there's no one to hold them accountable. Even when a congregation is not part of a Chi-Kun and haven't come into Chi-Kun, we encourage them, connect with the local ministries. If you're not a Chi-Kun congregation or if a congregation decides that, you know, they don't feel like they want to continue with Chi-Kun and they leave Chi-Kun, we encourage those congregations, be sure to find some local community, local congregations to connect with. There should be somebody in your life that can walk up to you and take their hand and say, I need to talk to you, brother, and speak to you. If you don't have that person in your life, believe me, you're asking for trouble. Because you're just a loose cannon, a loose wire, doing your own thing, and there's no one there to be able to speak to. And that could be formal, it can be informal. I'm just saying, even on a personal level, there should be somebody who's a solid believer, not some flaky person. Somebody who's solid, knows the Word of God, lives it out, walks it out. Others testify to the integrity of that person, and that person has access to your life. I have a number of such people who have that access to my life at any time. One of them is sitting right there, standing right there in the back, and that's Marcellus. At any time he wants to speak to me about something, he has complete access. Say, brother, I got to talk to you about something in your life. And I can't say, hold on now. I'm the chief among elders. I'm the speaker here. You need to tell us. At any time he wants to speak to me about something, he has complete access. Say, brother, I got to talk to you about something in your life. And I can't say, hold on now. I'm the chief among elders. I'm the speaker here. You need to stay back. No, I'm like, what do you have? But see, if I'm like that with anybody, if you come to me and you say, I got a word for you, I'll hear it. I mean, I agree with it. You know, as a leader, I have a responsibility. I hear from God. But as a co-leader with me, I hold, believe me, what he has to say carries more weight. Even if you might become with the Spirit of God, I'm going to always give deference because God has put him in my life for that purpose. T-Kun is in my life for that purpose. Dan Juster at any time can call me up. Ralph, I need to talk to you. Yes, Dan, what do you want to talk to me about? And I want to go, Dan, I'm busy. I don't have time for you right now. Never say that. Be like, what is it that you want to say to me? I need to meet with you. I want to go over some things with you. Okay. And not only Dan, Asher called me up. Hey, Ralph, something I had something on the heart. Asher, years ago, it was funny, when he first moved to Israel, and I was at a conference, and Asher was there, and Asher came up, Ralph, I need to talk to you. I'm like, uh-oh. What did I do? Come, I got to talk to you. He said, I was praying, and I'm starting a congregation in Jerusalem, and you came to mind. I was just wondering, is it okay if I name it Ahava Yeshua? And I went, that's all? Of course. Call it Ahava Yeshua. I'd be glad for you to call it Ahava Yeshua. Please do. So we're excited. It carries our namesake, you know. But even that, even Asher came for permission. He wasn't going to do it. If I said, no, why are you trying to take our name? You got to come up with a new name. I'm like, come on. It's the love of Yeshua. Who can hold that name to themselves, you know? And so there's always people. Eitan Shishkov, best man at my wedding, stood with me under the chuppah as I was receiving Sandra with Dan doing the ceremony. You know, anytime he can speak to me, he'll get on me. I remember the first time I introduced Z, and we were at a conference. First time she had met Eitan. You may not remember this. And she, you know, I give Z a hard time about a lot of things. And so she had mentioned Eitan had come out she said something to Eitan. He's always giving me a hard time. I think it was when we were at the music conference. After the first conference, we had that separate music ministry time. And she just said that. He immediately turned to me, Ralph, I've taught you better than that. You don't do that. What's going on with you? But, you know, and I listened. Like, okay, even though we were all joking, I'd still listen to what he had to say. Because these men always have an open input into my life. Michael Rudolph, the founder of this community, I will stop everything. If he calls me up and says, I need to talk to you, I will put on the brakes. What is it, Michael, that you want to say? What is your concern? Because these men have walked with me for years. So that area of mutual accountability is very important to us. And it's what helps to safeguard the community and safeguard people. Let me continue to read what it says here. Tikkun's International fulfills its mission by, number one, equipping, educating, and sending forth those called to Messianic Jewish ministry from the diaspora. Number two, fundraising, charitable aid, and support for Aliyah to Israel and for indigenous international ministries. Number three, empowering a network of Messianic Jewish congregations, like Tikkun America, through biblical governance and partnership in education, training, national conferences, and leadership development. Exhorting and educating the church regarding her Jewish roots and responsibility to the Jewish people. Number five, partnering with church leaders for the full restoration of Israel and the church. These are foundational principles. We do not hate the church world. See, some groups get into Jewish roots and they hate the church world. We do not hate the church world. We love the larger body of Messiah among the nations. And we know we cannot fulfill our call unless we have a healthy, good relationship with the larger part of the body of Messiah. That's why we're not going to go around and just sit there and put our fingers on churches. Oh, they don't do this. They don't have a Torah scroll. We don't do that. That's not what God has called us to do. He's given us our expression. He's given us the life that we live. And we're going to live that life. And the things that we can teach to the larger body of Messiah, we will, but we will never put a thumb on them and stomp them down because we probably wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the body of Messiah that was faithful to keep the word of God so that the message of Yeshua could be spoken in this day and age. So we do not have that. So if you find, you know, there are organizations, you can go on the web and do Jewish Roots, and you can find groups out there. And I'm going to tell you, you got to be careful with the web these days. Because anybody in their garage can stand up a website and make them sound like the greatest thing ever that's come on the planet and say they're so knowledgeable about all this stuff and present this and present that, and you don't know them from anything. Nobody knows them. Have you ever heard of this person? Nope, never heard of. Anybody know them? See, the Messianic community is still small enough. We know each other. Remember that thing that came out, what was it, 6 degrees of difference or something like that? The Messianic movement, I think it's one. You can touch, I mean, I can just touch people. I know people. I just touch, oh, yes, bam. Oh, you were there. Oh, yeah, I knew that guy. And you're known. Do they know who you are? Do you know this guy? Yes, we know this person. But somebody comes up and they throw their name out, and everybody, you see leaders in Tikkun, the MJC, the Lions, go, never heard of them. That should be a little flag. Doesn't mean that they're off base. I'm just saying it's just a little flag to dig a little deeper and find out who's covering them, who are they connected to, what are they about. Anybody can stand up a sign and say, hey, we are a Jewish Roots congregation, love Yeshua, use all the right words, and you think it's kosher, and it's not. Be careful. Be discerning. Dig deeper. Find out what they're about. Find their accountability structure. Find out what happens. It's a good question. What happens if you're wrong? Speaking to the leader, if you really get off base, what is my option? And if they go, I'm it. You have no choice here. See, we won't say that at a Tikkun congregation. You have plurality of leadership within the community. You have plurality of leadership around and even up the chain. There are those who will deal with issues if, and God forbid, we say if. We don't ever want it to be when. And thank God over the years, it's been mostly if. But good thing that if is there. So we believe in that. How do we do it? How does Tikkun International do what it does? Tikkun International is an apostolic network made up of association of congregations and international ministries led by apostolic team of the fivefold senior leaders. Benefits and responsibilities of associating with the Tikkun include equipping. Tikkun International trains leaders and congregational members through visits to congregations, conferences, training institutes, and more. We also equip leaders through phone and email communications. Encouragement. Tikkun International leaders are available to encourage leaders during times of pressure and spiritual attack. This includes counseling and advice as needed. Oversight. Tikkun International provides oversight through its emissaries. As part of this oversight, we participate in local eldership deliberations and major decisions. Such oversight takes place through the submission of reports, through various modes of communication, and occasionally through on-site visits. There's a lot of talking and changing, and we take advantage of the current technology. It makes it a lot easier. I mean, Dan can be in Israel and he reaches out to me. Dan can be in a plane, land at one airport. Ralph, I've got something to tell you. Something. Where are you now, Dan? Well, I'm over in Seattle. We have a little conversation. Got to go now. Got to get on the plane. And we can do a lot of exchange. And I might not see him for 6 straight months or 7 months. And then eventually he shows up here or he comes in for another reason. We get time. Or he has a thing up at Rosh Pinah. We have training seminars and we get to see him then. Accountability. When leaders are accountable for their ministry and personal lives, congregants can live in safety. Areas of accountability include biblical teaching, financial management, program implementation, and the general quality of congregational leadership. In addition, Tikkun International provides a court of appeals for congregational leaders who believe that a serious wrong or error has occurred that was not rightly settled in their appeal to their congregational elders. See, some congregations, you can't do that. You can have a falling out with all the elders. There's nowhere else for you to go. That's it. It's done. But we always felt, no, there has to be something more. There has to be something else where other people come in. And we encourage congregations, even if you don't have a Tikkun structure, even if you're not part of Tikkun, we always tell people, look, there should be someone. If you're a pastor, you're a rabbi, you're a leader, there should be someone. If not in your network, the congregation you're renting space from, or the congregation down the street that's in right order, that if things got to the point, you could call on them to come in and sit as a mediation to help resolve the conflict. This is important. This provides safety. This keeps people from going off the deep end. When congregations join Tikkun International, their leaders demonstrate that they are open to correction and are willing to be accountable to be a Tikkun International Court of Appeal. Apostolic and prophetic alignment. We believe that Tikkun International form and practice of government is a healthy trajectory towards the new covenant model in the scriptures by its recognizing all fivefold ministries, especially apostles and prophets. The embracing of apostolic ministry is one key to spiritual fruitfulness as the blessings of God are released when communities align on the biblical leadership order. God gave the fivefold ministry, it says in the book of Ephesians, for the building up of the body, so that the body would be strong, each person, so that the body can do the work of the ministry. The purpose of the fivefold ministry is not to build itself up so everything comes to them and it gets big platforms, you know, apostles so-and-so, teachers so-and-so. Teacher Ralph Finley is going to be teaching. No, that's not the point. My point is to teach you guys so you get the great testimony, the young man coming up and he's been taught and he can share what's happening in his life as he's growing in God. The people, the community, you guys should be coming back saying, hey, I was at the hospital and I was praying for my friend. I got healed. You have to say, well, hold it. This person's sick. Let me call my pastor so he can come pray for you. I don't have enough time in the day as it is to even pray for myself sometimes. I don't have time to go run after everybody. So I want to see everybody here equipped with the knowledge of the Word of God, the things of the kingdom, so that the kingdom of God is expanded through your hands, through your word, through your reaching out to your families, your friends, and your workplace. Because some places, if you got a job like mine, you know, I have a job that many of you could never get into the space that I work in. They wouldn't even let you on the base. Some of you can get on. Ralph can get on. We both work on the same base. We get, but I can't get in certain parts of his building. He can't get in certain parts of mine, even though we're on the same base. But he's in there, and he'll be the light where he is. And I'll be the light where I am. And you'll be the light where you are. And you'll be the light where you are. If everybody will be the light that God has called you to be, then we will spread the message of Yeshua wherever we are. This is very important that we understand that. And so that's the purpose of fivefold ministry, is equipping of the body so the body can do the work of the ministry, not so they can equip itself. Thank you, Father, for that. Kingdom expansion. Associating with an apostolic network connects us to kingdom expansion along new frontiers. Those called to lead in a fivefold network are committed to kingdom expansion, and by being part of an apostolic network of congregations, are able to support this expansion in substantial ways. We see this especially modeled by Paul. In a time when transportation was primarily primitive by today's standard, Paul was limited in the frequency of his visits to congregation. He couldn't run up to Ephesus, run down to Jerusalem all in a week. It just took time. So he couldn't do that. So what did he do? He wrote letters. He sent representatives. He depended upon information conveyed by other travelers. He called for his congregation to support his mission to new frontiers as a key part of kingdom advance. He wrote letters containing advice and correction, even while he was involved in new development work. Today we are involved in such expansion in other nations. But the frontier that especially inspires us is our work in Israel. Tikkun International is mainly concerned with making sure that the Messianic Jewish believers in Israel are strong, expanding, and growing, and reaching Israel for the kingdom of God, for Yeshua. Membership in Tikkun International connects leaders and congregations to relational government and to kingdom expansions that is rooted in the land of Israel. Hallelujah. So I say we're part of Tikkun America. That's the American expression. That's where all the Tikkun congregations in America all connected together in Tikkun America. So what is Tikkun America? Tikkun America is a Ruach, Holy Spirit-oriented, apostolic network of leaders, congregations, and ministries in covenantal relationship for mutual accountability, support, and equipping to extend the kingdom of God in America and throughout the world. Sounds pretty much like Tikkun International. That's because it is the same. It's just the emphasis is on America. That's where our main thrust is. It's through Tikkun International or Tikkun Israel that we connect more to Israel, and that's important to us. Being connected to Israel is very important to us. What do we do? What does Tikkun America do? Tikkun is a Holy Spirit-oriented network of congregation and leaders focusing on two primary objectives. One, joining leaders, congregations, and ministries together in covenantal relationship for mutual support and equipping under a fivefold leadership council. It offers leaders opportunities to serve and equip beyond the local levels, both domestically and internationally. Number two, sending forth those called to Messianic Jewish ministry, both in the U.S. and abroad, by providing accountability and support. Very important. It's important to note that wherever we minister, Tikkun seeks to connect. Won't you hear this? Tikkun seeks to connect to the Christian church and helps the church to be restored to Jewish-rooted understanding of the word. Didn't say they went out and bore a Torah scroll and started learning Hebrew, but we think theologically they should understand the place of Israel and the Jewish people and God's economy for salvation, not only of the house of Israel and Judah, but for the whole earth. Israel's not a side issue. It's right in the center of things. Very important. Jewish people are not just another group to go mission. You know, oh, let's go reach the Chinese. That's wonderful. Oh, let's go reach the Latino community. That's wonderful. Oh, let's go reach the Alaskans. Somebody's got to go there. Let's go reach it. Yes, oh, that's important. Let's go to the continent of Africa. Let's reach there. Yes, that's important. But there's something about Israel and God's word and his scripture that's important to salvation in the name of Yeshua. Yeshua himself said these words, salvation is of the Jews. That's what our Messiah says. You can tell your friends in the church world, Jesus said that salvation is of the Jews. That's what Jesus said. They might hear it that way. That's important. That's not a scripture you can cut out and throw away. This is Yeshua speaking. We can't say, oh, he misspoke. Oh, that was for back then. Way back then it was of the Jews, but now it's not anymore. Really? I thought the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So this is not a side issue for us. It's central to us. We do not compromise on this. Very important. And we want the body of the Messiah to understand this in a big way and how to walk in that. Like I said, didn't say we're going to tell them that next week you got to go out and spend $6,000 to $10,000 and buy yourself a Torah scroll. No, we don't tell them that. Bible works just fine. But they should have some understanding of Yeshua and Passover, Yeshua and Sukkot, Yeshua and Shavuot, Yeshua and any of the feasts, Yom Kippur, Yom Teruah. They should have an understanding of the things. They should know where Israel fits into the economy of God's salvation plan. It is important to note, well, we just mentioned that. Why do we do this? Why does Tikkun America do this? It was in the 80s that Dan Juster, leader in the Messianic movement, was challenged by a friend regarding the restoration of church by fivefold leadership, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He began to gain a vision for the restored unity of the body of believers, and the foundations for restorations began to grow. Because of the distinctiveness of the Messianic Jewish calling within the founding congregation, the need to develop a close-knit association of communities with shared values became a pressing motivation to create a new network rather than to join an existing one. There were a lot of apostolic networks that wanted us. See, a lot of y'all weren't there, but some of you were. You know, God used Dan in an amazing way because a lot of leaders were attracted to him. Before Tikkun was born, we had what was called the Washington Regional Messianic Council. And as far down as Richmond and all the way up the north, we all came because we felt that God was doing something through Dan. And we felt drawn to him and connected to him. And he began to unfold his vision. Now, when you unfold a new vision, sometimes people don't get it. Some people, because of their own superstition, think, you know, suspicions, they start to say, well, he's trying to build a name for himself. That's why he's trying to do this tikkun thing. And so they wanted to push away. I don't want anything to do with it. But for those of us who were hearing the heart of God, we saw what God was putting together. Because that structure wasn't there. See, I like the union very much. And it's very, that's why we're part of the union. But remember I said the union is a very broad umbrella. And because it's a broad umbrella, it tends to go to the level of what it can do, so it won't offend all the different groups. So where Ahavat, where we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the power of God and laying hands on the sick and commanding demons off, if you try to do that in some union things, you might cause a problem. I'm just telling you the truth. They might say, what are you doing? Even though there are union congregations that believe in all that. But when you're a broad umbrella, you got to realize, okay, this is the setting that we're in, so we got to do things in a way that we don't offend our brother. We should not try to seek to offend. So we find an area of commonality, and that's the level we walk together. At Ahavat, we extend that even to groups like J for J, Jews for Jesus, because sometimes Messianic congregations and Jews for Jesus don't get along. And there's a whole history about that, and I won't go into that today. I know the history. I can tell you all about the history. I have lots of good friends in J4J. We've had J4J to come here and speak. And my thing is simply this, that, yeah, there are differences. I mean, I've talked to the key leaders of J4J, and I tell them, yeah, there are differences. We know there are differences. I've talked to them side by side. Ralph, you know there are differences. Yes, I know there are differences, but there is a common thing. That's what we both believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, and Jewish people need to embrace their Messiah. He's, yes, we believe that. Then we can walk together in that one thing. So when we have events together, lay that, we're all focused on one thing. That won't be the time for us to talk about apostolic networks and apostles and prophets. We won't get into that with them at that point because we're only focusing on one thing. And so that one thing, we can walk together in unity. And so we got to learn to do that, and that's important. And I think Dan was one who was bringing that together. And that's what drew all these people together. And eventually Tikkun came forth. There's a lot of stuff in between that. But it came forth. Let me read this part. I read that. Great. So, 12 pillars. And we're only going to do one real quickly today. 12 pillars of Tikkun. Thank you, Father. Tikkun has 12 pillars, the principles, foundations. We're going to read them to you very quickly, but we're going to go kind of look at one in general. The first one is called, the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. The second one is called, the kingdom is expressed in worship. The third one, the kingdom is expressed in community. The fourth one, the kingdom is expressed in a life of power. The fifth one, the kingdom is expressed in a life of character. The sixth one, the kingdom is expressed in apostolic order. The seventh one, the kingdom is expressed in a quest for unity. Number eight, the kingdom is expressed in Jewish calling. Number nine, the kingdom is expressed in discipling the nation. Number 10, the kingdom is expressed in the coming fullness. Number 11, the kingdom is expressed in every life sphere. Number 12, the kingdom is extended through prayer. Those are 12 principles that need to find themselves in every Tikkun congregation and worked out on all the things that we do, that we have these things in mind and we live it out. The first one, the gospel, is the gospel of the kingdom. Now, for time's sake, and the fact that I left the sheet that explained that from Tikkun's word, I won't be able to read to you that part. But I can talk to you about it. And it's very simple because you already know it and you don't know that you know it. The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. The message of the gospel is that the kingdom of God is available to you to bring kingdom order and relationship through power and demonstration of the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua. Amen. That is foundational. What Angelo was sharing today was expression of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, the good news to set the captives free, to break off the chains and establish the rule and reign of order of God in this earth, in your families, in your neighborhoods, wherever you go. That is the foundational mission of every Tikkun congregation. We are called to the kingdom. It is Yeshua who said, when some of his disciples says, teach us how to pray, he said, look, I'll teach you how to pray. And he tells them that pray this prayer that in the world of Christianity is a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The thrust of our prayers is a cry for the kingdom of God to come to this earth. It's not simply a message about if I believe in Jesus, I'll be forgiven of my sins and I get to go to heaven on a cloud. Yes, heaven is in the package deal, but that is not the thrust of Scripture. In the book of Acts, the first chapter, see, you guys know all this. I've taught you this. In the first chapter of Acts, when they had spent 40 days with the resurrected Messiah, teaching them about the kingdom of God. Wouldn't you love to have been signed up for those classes? 40 days with Yeshua himself, and let me tell you about the kingdom. And you're just sitting there with your notepad, your iPads, your this pad, your books, whatever it is you're using, just blood, whatever, you just get that thing down. And after 40 days of Yeshua teaching about the kingdom, it says that the disciples, because he's getting ready to go up into the glory cloud, the presence of God, and they get a chance to ask him one more question. And after 40 days of teaching about the kingdom of God, their question is, will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? Yeshua does not say, look, guys, don't you understand it's all spiritualized now? It has nothing to do with Israel at all. Don't you understand now it's all about going to heaven? That's what you're going. That's the next plan. You get to go to heaven, guys. You get to go to heaven. It's all about going to heaven. Have you ever noticed in studying the Torah, there's no talk about going to heaven? Have you ever noticed in studying the prophets, though there's some insight of the world to come, there's very little talk about going to heaven? If you take the whole Tanakh and study it about heaven, you will know very little about it. Because that wasn't the emphasis of the Jewish people. They weren't looking to get to heaven. Their view was that if they walk with God and write with God, God will take care of that part. Their focus was one thing, and that's God's kingdom and the world to come. That there's a world coming that where God's going to put everything back into right order. It's coming. You don't go to it. It's coming. This is the gospel of the kingdom. It's coming here. What did John the Baptist say when he started his ministry? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was his message. What was the message Yeshua gave to the 12 when he sent them out and said, only go to the house of Israel? You can read about it in the gospel. He said, they go out, go to the homes and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Then he took a bunch of them together, lay hands to them to cast out demons, heal the sick, and he told them, go give the message. And what message did they give? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When the disciples end the book of Acts, you read through it, when they preach, what do they preach? They preach the kingdom of God, and they preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So what do you think our message ought to be? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's breaking into this world. And what is the thing about the kingdom of God? It's kingdom order. It's putting everything back into right order as God designed it to be when he first created the heavens and earth and mankind. Things were supposed to be in right order. It fell out of order. And God has been working even to this day to bring it back into right order. That's what Tikkun Olam is all about. The restoration of the world. Putting things back into the order that God purposed it to be from the beginning. That is the mission of Tikkun. It's not just to be Jewish. It's not just to wear a tallit. It's not to prove to somebody you can keep kosher or you can say the Hebrew prayers, though we will do all of those things. The thrust, the foundation of our message is the kingdom of God. Restoring all things to the order that it ought to be. Look at Luke, the fourth chapter. Y'all know this very well. Luke 4, verse 16. So Yeshua came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, this was his practice, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Good news, good news, good tidings to the poor. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Are you brokenhearted? "To proclaim liberty to the captives." Does the devil have you under his foot? Put chains on your feet? "And recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendants and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This day. Why? Because Yeshua was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He was bringing good news to people. He was setting the captives free. He was bringing liberty. He's putting things in the right order. He's undoing the things that Satan has put on mankind, and he's putting back the righteousness of God. Matthew 4, verse 23. "And Yeshua went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and healing all kind of sickness, all kind of disease among the people. And people brought their demon-possessed, and people were tormented, and all. They brought it to him, the paralytics, the epileptics, and he healed them." Why? Well, yeah, because he had compassion. That's part of it. He healed out of his compassion, just like we should minister out of our compassion. But why did he do this? Because he's proclaiming and demonstrating the kingdom. See, the kingdom of God was the restoration of all things. When you read in the book of Isaiah where it says there'd be no more moon, no more stars, you hear the same thing in the book of Revelation. No more moon and stars. Sad thing about it is Christians read the book of Revelation in the unmessianic world and they picture something totally separated from Israel. But if you go back and read realize that the book of Revelation is a quote of something that's already been spoken, you realize that the thing they're speaking is something that would be promised long ago to Israel, that the lion and the lamb would lay down together, that the wolf and the sheep would lay down together. Then there will be no more moon, no more stars, no more sun. Why? Because God himself will be the light thereof. He's speaking to Israel being established in its rule and reign that brings life to the whole earth, because the word of God is supposed to go out of Jerusalem to the whole earth. That's what he's teaching. That's what he's saying. And we try to make it somewhere off in some cloud somewhere. We're stripping away the very thing that the disciples were asking. Will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? Israel is to be not the back end. It's supposed to be the head, not the tail. That's why we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, not just so people put down their missiles and arms. The real peace we're praying for is when God himself is dwelling in the midst of Israel and putting his kingdom over the whole earth. That's what we're calling out for. That's what we want. That's the gospel of the kingdom. That's the power of God. Every time somebody's healed, every time blind eyes are opened, every time an ankle is put into right order, a back is restored,
every time a relationship is mended, every time somebody comes out and puts the drugs away and starts to walk away from those drugs, every time somebody comes out of poverty and able to stand on their feet and provide for their family, the kingdom of God is being manifested. That's what we're desiring. That's the gospel of the kingdom. That is foundational to tikkun. We say that we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In Matthew 6:33, we're told, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all other things will be added onto you. That is not a suggestion. That's not only at Yom Kippur, when you're feeling bad and wondering if your name's going to be inscribed in the book of life. As believers in Yeshua, you should know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So what else do you have to do but to get on the business of proclaiming the gospel and the kingdom? You should be worrying, running around, when am I going to be saved? When am I going to be in the kingdom? When am I going to be all right with God? When am I going to overcome this sin? Oh, I wonder. Going around and around in a circle. Lift up your head. See that deliverance has come, that you've been set free. Walk in the freedom of the liberty of the kingdom and begin to go set the captives free. This is what we're called to do. That's the gospel of the kingdom. That's a foundational principle of tikkun. Seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. The kingdom is not just spiritual. If you really study Torah, which Yeshua says his words are spiritual, you study Torah, you see how practical Torah is. So Yeshua didn't come to destroy Torah. He says, I've come to fulfill it. Not so we could break it, but as it says in Romans 8, so that the righteous requirements of the Torah, the law, might be fulfilled in our lives. Yeshua came to equip us to walk in the righteousness of God's law. From the inside out, he begins to direct our paths and cause us to do what is right. One last thing. Some of you know Matthew 5 is the great chapter known as the Beatitudes. I challenge you to go read that more carefully. Because it's not... No, we can call it the Beatitudes. It's really not the Beatitudes. It's really an expression of the kingdom of God. All those things, blessed are the poor in spirit. Because part of the kingdom is that the poor will have the good news preached to them. So Yeshua is standing with these people and he's teaching them about the kingdom that's breaking into this world. See, there's a dimension where the kingdom is breaking into this world, but it's still coming because it hasn't come in its fullness. How do we know that? Go out in the street, see people still killing, robbing, hitting each other upside the head. But it doesn't mean the kingdom is not here operating and working, because it is. And it's expanding. What did Yeshua say? It's like a little mustard seed planted in the ground, and it grows up and becomes a big tree, and all the birds of the air nest in it. It's interesting. It's the same words that were spoken concerning. This is wild when you think about it. If you study the book of Daniel, you see that one of the dreams that Nebuchadnezzar had, he had an image of a big tree with birds in it. And Daniel has explained to him what it is. He says, well, in that case, he said, it's you. It's your kingdom. Because at that time, Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom was the known power over the earth. They ruled everything. And all the nations, the birds of the air, the peoples, the nations, coming to dwell and be a part of this kingdom. Because he's ruling as king over the earth. And people are coming up to him. Because he was being given a warning because he thought he got there by his own power. And he was only there because God allowed him to be there. And he needed to acknowledge the one true God, is what Daniel instructed him. And he said, look, here's what you need to do. You need to bend and acknowledge God. Well, he refused to do so. And we know what happened to him. He said, didn't I build this kingdom with my own hands? And at that moment, he struck dumb and silly and crazy. And he's out there walking around like some afflicted guy, because he was afflicted. Hair grew all out, matted and everything. And he just lost his mind because he refused to acknowledge the one true God. God says the kingdom of God, mustard seed that grows into a big tree, and all the birds of the air come, and the animals come to dwell underneath its shade. See, the kingdom of God is very practical. It meets the needs of the people. Wherever the kingdom of God is proclaimed, there's healing that takes place, whether supernaturally or whether by somebody like Dr. Tope bringing wisdom to a community about how to to do things in a proper way so they won't bring disease to themselves. This is what we have to see. That's the first principle of tikkun. Next week, maybe I'll bring the thing and I'll read what they wrote, but that's it as a summary. The first principle, first pillar of tikkun. That's what tikkun congregations are about. That's what we're seeking to express. Everything else I'm going to talk to you for the other 11 pillars come out of that pillar. That's foundational. It's all about the good news of the kingdom. That's what we're about. It's not just about proving to people how Jewish we are. Judaism is very important to us, but that's not the thrust of our message. If that was the thrust of our message, we would just tell everybody to go join an Orthodox synagogue. If that was the thrust of my message, hey, so I'll go down, join up the Orthodox synagogue, and that's the best Jewishness we're going to get in these day and time. I wouldn't sing it to the Reform or the Conservative. I'd sing it to the Orthodox. You're going to be serious about Halakha and Talmudic Judaism, and that's the way to go. But God hasn't called us to Talmudic Judaism. That's not our goal. We honor Talmudic Judaism. We honor the 1,800 years of study and research and mind and power that in many ways God has used rabbinical Judaism to preserve the majority of the Jewish people through the years. There are other expressions of Judaism. Karaites, they have expression. They didn't agree with a lot of the things that were there, and they took a different path. But as far as the major group, it is rabbinical Judaism. Who can deny that? That's the group that's spread over the whole earth. When you think of Judaism, that's what you think of. You know, even though I've read about the Karaites and appreciate some of that insight, the fact of the matter is they're a small little tiny thing compared to rabbinical Judaism. So we got to respect that. Where they're right, they're right. Where they're wrong, they're wrong. And we shouldn't be afraid to say so. We do it in respect. But that's not our calling. Our calling is not to be rabbinical Jews. Our call is not to be Karaites, Sephardic, whatever. Some of you may come from those different traditions. We have Ashkenazi Jews here. We have Sephardic Jews here. We have Yemenite Jews here. All kinds of Jews that come from different traditions and practices and customs. And we adopt some of those customs. At Passover, we definitely follow the Sephardic route of things. Much more exciting food than the Ashkenazi traditions. Much more exciting things that we have. We're like, yeah, we're gonna be Sephardic for Passover, you know. Gives us a little liberty. We have that liberty of the Messiah. But our real thrust is Yeshua. That's what we're about. And Yeshua is about the kingdom and his reign and his rule. We need to worship God, people. Come on, worship team, let's go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.